This is Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1. I'm Ron Wilson, sitting in for Sheila Rogers. You can't open a newspaper or magazine, turn on a television or radio these days without seeing a story about China. And no wonder. China is undergoing one more revolution. 1.3 billion people are moving from socialism to something, well, it's hard to define. China's economy, red hot. It's getting ready to welcome the world, the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing. And although internet is widespread, censors can easily block access. Sound fascinating enough for you? Montrealer Keith Perrin decided he wanted to find out for himself, so he got a job working for a Beijing radio station.
带给你最酷的音乐，我是Mike， 来自金曲调频。
Hey, I'm Keith from the third hour of Hit FM and Jazz Beat.
Keith,
Joy FM in the nighttime. 你, how are you? 我是李科, I am
欢乐调频,
CRI Music, 带给你不同的音乐享受.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the
Keith and Li Qian Show.
Here on CRI Music. And I want to tell you something.
Uh-huh.
Don't try this show at home.
It's a long walk to the gallows.
In Beijing, live and interactive with you today.
下午2点钟到3点钟，老时间、老地方、老波段。 欢迎各位光临中国国际广播电台 Keith and Li Qian Show。
Sounds like Canada's David Gutnick is just back from China. Today he begins a series of reports that David's calling China the Next Revolution. David, good morning.
Good morning. Don't try this at home. That's a good theme song if you're talking about a revolution.
I have to tell you, I didn't think I'd hear the lyric line freedom in a song emanating from a Beijing radio station as well. It does sound like China is changing. Were you surprised by what you saw and heard?
You know, I was. You know, before I left, Ron, I'd read a ton of studies. You know, before you go on a trip, you want to find out everything you can about a place. You go through books and articles. And I'd spoken to lots and lots of experts. But when you land at the Beijing airport and it's going through this massive renovation for the 2008 Olympics, I was surprised because there were no Mao portraits. Couldn't find one anywhere. Mm. You know, no piles of little red books. These long marble hallways, these giant, I'd never seen such big flat screen televisions, you know, with the flight departure times and stuff. And guess what? Starbucks.
Oh,
I had one at your end and one at that end. So I grab a cab, and it's a hybrid cab because Beijing is trying to clean up its act. So you know, half electric, half gas. We head downtown, skyscraper after skyscraper, construction crane after construction crane. I'm told this. One half of the world's construction cranes are now in China. Half of the world's cement is being gobbled up in China as we speak. And so, Ron, you're heading in on this new ring road. There are now six ringing all the way around Beijing. There were only three a couple of years ago. You're in heavy traffic. You know, there's BMWs, there's Mercedes, there's all sorts of stuff. And then in the slow lane, peasants with their donkey going into town. So you get these contradictions all over the place. Now, I stop in front of the hotel. There are people dressed in mink coats getting out of these fancy cars, and they're avoiding this little girl. She's about, less than a meter high. She's got her hand out. And I'm told there are these organized beggars all over Beijing. You know, adults send these kids out to collect cash. So you see all of this, and you say, I need someone to help me understand this place.
And that's when you called on?
Keith Perrin. Keith Perrin, as he says in English. Now, I wanted to hear from a Canadian. You know, you get somewhere and you say, who can help me really understand a place? And, well, he's looking at Beijing through Canadian eyes. And he's a radio guy, so, you know, he talks, he sees stories all over the place. He used to work at Radio Canada International in Montreal. And he's moved all over the place. This is a guy who likes to do radio all over the place. So he was a host in the Netherlands. He was a host, believe it or not, in Cuba. He's been in Taiwan. He was also a radio host not far from where you're sitting right now in Vancouver on a mostly Chinese language radio station. And now he hosts a drive show in Beijing.
A drive show, how appropriate, given what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, all those new cars. Right? It's thousands of new cars every day. And there's this growing middle class, and guess what they want to do? They want to listen to the radio when they're caught in a traffic jam, right?
Not unlike Vancouver.
Not like Vancouver. And there's, of course, more and more English-speaking foreigners in Beijing, thousands of Canadian. So when Keith and I met up for a walk one evening, he said, look, he's been in Beijing for 4 years now, 5 years in China, and he still wakes up every day knowing there's going to be surprises. You know, he'll stumble upon something that could be centuries old, seniors gently doing Tai Chi in a park, or peasants selling produce, you know, that they've brought in from the countryside with their donkey in a cart. And then a few meters away, he'll see a kid with a wireless laptop sitting on a park bench, you know, just chatting away on their cell. So I wanted a bit of a tour around his Beijing.
Come on, David, I want to show you a place that I know. It's one of my favorite hangouts here in Beijing. It's called The Bookworm. And this place has been around for like a number of years. And what's so special about it is that it's one of the few places in Beijing that has like foreign books and everything. So let's go inside. And as you see, it is quite an amazing place.
I've seen nothing like this.
This is very close to the kind of thing you'd find in the Palazzo Montreal. You know, a little bookshop, they have really good coffee, and you can come here and relax and, you know, surf the internet because they have wireless. They have really nice cakes. They have books that they sell, and you can even take out the books. They have, like, you know, the latest Stephen King magazines and
stuff like that. Well, yeah, his Economist magazine, Parents magazine, but Parent magazine in Chinese, though.
Yeah, in Chinese.
Why do you have to come? Do you just get sick and tired of being surrounded all the time by a culture that's so busy and so different? And
well, a few times I've actually met some quite interesting people here, correspondents for foreign media outlets, people that are working as writers, people that are studying Chinese. And
do you feel you need that? You get hungry for that expat community in this huge city of 15 million people?
The nice thing that's here is that you have a mix of people who are Chinese and a people who are a mix of foreigners. The Chinese that I've run into here, most of them are, you know, well-educated and could speak a little bit of English and stuff like that. So it's very different from the most of the people that you'd see in other places.
Because there is a hunger for English in this place.
Well, a few times I've come here and I'll be quietly working and somebody from another table will come up to me and say, oh, excuse me, do you speak English? Can I talk to you for a bit? The last time it happened to me a few months ago, it was a guy who's a pediatrician, and he's studying English right now to go study in the United States, and they have this exam that they have to take before they get the visa and everything, and I was just really fascinated about it.
But you have to want to come here, because we came all the way down that alley. It's completely dark. It's night. There's no lights anywhere.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of places like this in Beijing. The only problem is finding them.
Interesting. When you talk about that contradiction too, David, because, you know, drinking espresso, sitting in a bookstore, reading The Economist.
I know. It's China is changing. It is.
Now, how surprised were you to find a place like The Bookworm?
Yeah, I was very surprised. Because when you first get to Beijing, you don't expect to see this sort of expat, very English kind of place. I mean, there are, though, coffee shops. I must say, if you want a coffee in Beijing right now, Starbucks is everywhere, and they're saying that they're going to have more places there than in the United States in the next couple of years. So you can just see how this growing middle class in China is sort of hungry for this, I don't know, American experience or whatever. But finding The Economist magazine, for example, was something, because the one I found there had articles that were critical of the government. And even though there's an increasing openness in China, you can't buy that magazine anywhere, certainly not on public newsstands. It's just verboten. No way can you buy stuff that the government doesn't like. So someone, I think, had brought it in from the outside.
So the whole topic of censorship, when you're with Keith, did you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, you can't help it because it's so omnipresent. When I was in my hotel, I sat in front of my computer. I couldn't bring up lots of web pages. Amnesty International's site on China was blocked. So were pages about the Dalai Lama. No pages at all that referred to the Tiananmen Square uprising in 89. And when I was in my hotel room watching the BBC International News, there was an announcement that it was going to be a story about China. Mm-hmm. The screen went blank.
Totally.
Just totally for a couple of minutes and then comes back on. Now, the People's Congress was meeting in Beijing when I was there, and the streets were just teeming with police. Anybody coming from outside of Beijing into the city had their car stopped and searched. Imagine how many, in a city of, you know, 15 billion people, a million people, imagine how many police officers that takes. Yeah. Eh? Now, I wanted to go with Keith to his radio station. Radio guy said, hey, I'd like to see how you work. And he said, no way. The security was just way too tight.
Well, that's very much the old China, if I can use that phrase.
Oh, absolutely. And the papers were full of speeches, full of stories about what the Communist Party and the government was doing. There was no criticism at all, just sort of good news about the economy, about how bad things were being righted and so on. But I wanted to find out from Keith what it's like in that atmosphere. What's it like being a radio host in China right now?
In China,
I really never talk about politics. I refuse to talk about politics. I'm not interested in talking about politics, only because if somebody's going to want to tune into me during the drive time between 5 and 7, I just want to entertain them. We'll give them some entertainment news, talk about some silly little things that are happening in Beijing, or some funny little experience that I may have had the night before in a restaurant with my poor Chinese. Of course, sometimes you kind of make a comment, you know, but it's nothing that would get you in trouble or anything, and most people probably wouldn't understand it anyway, except for maybe people that really speak English very well and stuff like that. I don't want to get involved in politics and political games and stuff like that. I just think, no. Not my country. You guys take care of it. I don't care.
Your Chinese colleagues, what about them?
My Chinese colleagues who work as reporters and stuff like that, and other people that I know that work as reporters in Beijing Television or Central China Television, which is the main channel here, there is a censorship that they have, and when they write a script, it has to go through a censor, and they take out certain words and maybe change things around. But some stuff always kind of gets through. I work unscripted, and I work live. And in all of China, there's approximately 4 foreigners that are allowed to broadcast live. We have the certificate.
You have a certificate?
We have a certificate which comes from the State Administration of Film, Radio, and Television to authorize us to be able to broadcast live with no script. And 3 of us are in Beijing and the other one's in Shanghai.
Did you have to pass a test?
No, I didn't have to pass a test, but like when I first got here, maybe for like the first 3 months, even though I was live, maybe they were definitely watching me a bit more, but then they realized that, you know, I'm not going to get involved in politics, and having worked in Cuba for 3 years, where I was broadcasting news live every day for 2 hours, that kind of made them feel easier as well, because I worked in this kind of environment before, so it is very interesting, you know, at times.
I had never heard of a broadcast license.
Now, do you have yours? Are you sure that
I like my chances of getting one in Canada, not so much in Beijing.
But just imagine, you know, having censors listen to your every word, and there's actually someone in his office who sits next to the studio. This elderly woman, and she listens to every word. And if she thinks that he's going off track, she comes in and she knocks on the glass.
Well, if he has to watch out for that, then, David, what does he talk about?
Well, look, he had a remote a few weeks ago, and he did it with his co-host, Julia, from the Military Museum in Beijing.
Beep, 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 yeah!
The Beatles, Drive My Car, here on Radio 774, and that's actually our topic today and tomorrow between 9 and 10 at the Military Museum.
Yes,
at the
cars.
Now, Julia, you drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been driving?
So there's your answer. You talk about booming economy, what do you talk about?
Cars from the Military Museum.
Absolutely. Not good for the lungs, though. Did you know that if you live in Beijing, it's the equivalent of smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day?
I've heard that it's horribly polluted.
It is. So, you know, you're talking cars may not be politics, but you see, right now, the government is pushing cars because it's good for the economy and all that kind of stuff. And when people arrive for 2008, the city will be modern. Plus, there's just this sense right now, there's a yearning in China to improve people's lives. And so there's shopping malls, you know, all sorts of things. You hear people coming into shopping malls and paying cash for cars, actually.
So can Keith, if he wanted to, talk about more serious subjects on his radio show?
Yeah, he can. But he has, you know, he has to walk a very fine line. And I think listening to him, you realize this is a guy who's learned how to do that. Take AIDS, for example. Until a few years ago, AIDS was one of the topics the government leaders just did not talk about in public. You know, thousands of people were getting infected with HIV. Thousands of people across China were dying. And the government put in some clinics, there was some research, some medicine, but almost nothing in the media, nothing in the newspapers. And if there was, if someone referred to AIDS in the newspapers, it was about, oh, that's happening somewhere else in the world. We don't have that problem in China. Hmm. So Keith decided to put on a radio series about AIDS. Times have changed. He felt he could do it if he talked about it very carefully.
你好.
Hello.
皆さんこんにちは.
Saludan.
여러분안녕하십니까.
Guten Tag.
HIV/AIDS affects millions of people around the world. The Chinese government has been very active to educate the regions of the country that have been most seriously affected. Today we'll be putting the focus on the talk shows that you see on Chinese TV. They talk about it. but they don't talk about it. Do you know what I mean? Like they'll say, okay, yeah, AIDS exists here, and we have to put more education, but they won't have somebody on the show who's infected with HIV. Or they won't have somebody, let's say, who is a sex worker, only because that these people are afraid to kind of come forward, because if they do, they will be shunned from society. So that attitude is still there. And they really haven't done anything for people to be able to come forward and say, look, you know, I'm HIV positive and I want to talk to some students. I went to a university last year to this AIDS seminar that they had. Not one single person speaking at the seminar was HIV positive or had AIDS. Not one.
明白才大惊小怪不敢明白那才是最悲哀。That, Ron, is an AIDS commercial that runs on Chinese television.
It's strange to hear him talk about it, David, because it's almost like there's a sanitized view.
There is, and you have to be very careful, you know, and you have to be very diplomatic. And you notice that in his little talk there, he congratulated the government for doing well, mm-hmm. but then he went on and, you know, gently talked about other things as well.
CBC's David Gutnick sharing us stories of Keith Perrin's Beijing. You talked about the bookworm, this rather unique place down the back alley. Tell me a bit more. Where'd you go after that?
Well, I wanted to find the Beijing of old, you know, the one that's being knocked down when those skyscrapers are being built. And in Beijing, there's this tradition of building homes called hutongs, so these little skinny alleyways, and people lived around courtyards, just beautiful. And I wanted to walk through a neighborhood where those brick one-story homes are built.
I wanted to walk you through this area here, which is all being torn down to get Beijing ready for the 2008 Games. Now, just a few months ago, like 3-4 months ago, this was like a thriving little community. And you can come here at night, like we are, like around 10 o'clock at night, and see old people walking around and playing Maja, which is like a Chinese checkers. And there was so much activity going down, but now it looks like a war had taken place here.
There's just bricks everywhere. There's broken walls.
Yeah. And like right here, there was a place called Cloud Nine, which was one of the probably nicest bars in the city. It had kind of like the style was kind of like the old opium dens, and they put really good music and all that, and they invested a lot of money in it. And then they were told, well, you have to get out in like 2 weeks because we're tearing the whole place down. That's how much notice they were given. And this is what's happening throughout the city. And especially foreigners, we kind of look at this and we go, you know, this is a shame because a lot of the character, unfortunately, is going away. But there's such a drive here to modernize.
There's cranes everywhere.
Cranes everywhere. You know, we foreigners that live here, we refer to Beijing as one giant construction site.
Well, not unusual when you hear about a city taking on the hosting responsibilities for an Olympic Games for that kind of massive construction.
Watch out, Vancouver.
Yeah, people are displaced.
Absolutely.
So, David, it is now evening. Aren't you getting a little hungry?
Of course I'm getting hungry. And the food in Beijing is very, very good. So we went off on foot, down one back alley, down another. I was completely lost. And Keith wanted me to leave that, you know, the hotels and the coffee shops. He wanted me to leave that behind. We ended up in this little alley with no lights in front of a guy cooking meat on skewers held over a coal fire. It was a Muslim barbecue joint, and Beijing has hundreds of thousands of Muslims, peoples who come down from the Northwest.
When you walk down the street, it's like, the smells of the spices and the meat and everything. And if we actually just walk over here, you can actually see it's like a real barbecue. I mean, this smell, it's just absolutely delicious.
So you've got a fellow here, he's basically outside here.
Yeah. Basically outside, there's like some coals and stuff, but this stuff is absolutely delicious. They have mostly lamb, they have like heart, they have chicken, they have this really delicious Chinese bread, which we're going to taste on the inside. And it's the kind of place that a lot of foreigners can never find. If I was to tell you, here, go to this restaurant, with no sign.
There's no address.
And this is old Beijing.
This is sort of like old style Beijing from when the economy here was like starting to grow. All these like little local restaurants were opening up, and they're just really, really nice.
There's a sleeping bag over the door.
A sleeping bag over the door. They have the thing for the hot pot.
Yeah, open flames in the middle of each table.
It's really for a hot pot, but it's turned on now to keep it warm and stuff like that. And it's like just an amazing place. And the food is just so good, and it's so cheap.
How comfortable do you feel in a place like this?
I feel very comfortable. I mean, the last time I went back to Canada, which was over a year ago, it felt... You see what I mean? The last time I went back to Canada, it was a very strange thing for me, because people here are so friendly, and this guy here is... I don't know who he is, but he's being really friendly, and stuff like that. If I get into a taxi, and I can understand a little, and a taxi driver will say, "Where are you from?" And I say, "Ah, washa Canada Ren," which means I am from Canada. They go, "Oh yeah, Canada, Canada." And then they'll say, "What city are you from?" And I go, "Van Gogh Hua," which is Vancouver. And they go, "Oh, you know," and they start naming Dashan and Dr. Bethune and stuff like that. So people here are very familiar with Canada and really like Canada.
You gonna stay right through the Olympics?
I'd like to. I'm really interested to see what China is becoming, and I find it such a fascinating place. David, I have to describe this to you. This is a wonderful... Oh, Dibuchi. A wonderful barbecue, which is very popular amongst people here. It's like from the Xinjiang region of China. And it's a food that we saw being cooked earlier, and it has this like delicious spice, and it's just... Most foreigners that come here for like 2-3 weeks vacation never end up having this, because they go for the traditional Peking duck and the traditional Chinese food. So this is something which is very nice and stuff.
Let's sit down and eat,
yes.
So there you are, David, late at night in Beijing with Keith Perrin, the radio guy. You're a radio guy, so... What? Radio talk breaks out?
Yeah. You start talking about radio. And it's one thing to do, you know, car show remotes, which Keith does too. And it's another to talk about your own passions. Keith is a big jazz fan. He's the host of a jazz show on Chinese radio called Jazz Beat, in homage to...
our own Katie Malik.
You got it.
In Shanghai, some drizzle are forecasted in the next 24 hours. I'm Du Lijun. Please stay tuned for more on CRI.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Keith Perron. And welcome to Jazz Beat here on CRI. We're going to begin tonight's show with a bit of Ella Fitzgerald, Scatting Along and Lemon Drop.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much.
When I started doing this show, I was contacted by the producer of a show that was on CNN. And he said, "I want to contact you about this jazz show that you're doing." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, we found out that you just started a jazz show, but there hasn't been any jazz shows in China since 1949. After he told me that, I was like on the internet the next minute, and sure enough, there hasn't been a jazz show in China since 1949.
It lingered there, touch your hair and walk with me.
The saxophone, of all instruments, the most important jazz instrument, was banned for years. They only lifted the ban when Bill Clinton went on television and started playing the saxophone. And now there's a big craze in some of the music schools to actually learn the instrument. And there's some Chinese jazz musicians that are here, and they're actually pretty good, but what they're lacking is feeling in the music. Like, they play it as it's written, as it's arranged, and told how to play it. For them to do something which is, you know, improvising, which is a big part of the music, they can't do.
There you go, jazz.
Wow. First jazz show since 1949.
Imagine banning an instrument.
I can't get over it. And then Bill Clinton reviving it. Go figure. David, great tour. I really love Keith Farron's Beijing, but I do want to go to that barbecue place. Can you get me the address? If it's still there.
Just some back alley in the middle of a city that you'll never find your way around.
David, thank you.
Bye.
See you Thursday. David Gutnick's series, China, the Next Revolution, will continue on The Current, but that's on Wednesday. David taking an in-depth look at the way China is handling AIDS and the growing HIV infection rate. And then on Thursday, as mentioned, David will be back here on Sounds Like Canada with another profile of a Canadian living in China. Lisa Carducci is a writer and translator, and she believes that the Chinese government is right to crack down on dissidents. Now, we set up a special website. You can hear in the reports we're broadcasting and see some photos as well. cbc.ca/China. You're listening to Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1. I'm Ron Wilson, sitting in for Sheila Rogers.